or the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Last Sunday night, we talked about soul winning. The week before that, we were in Philemon, and we looked at the character of this man whose name is Onesimus, it was Philemon. We looked at Philemon that night and talked about his character. Tonight, we're going to talk about Onesimus and find out some things about Onesimus, and I just want to remind you, Onesimus' story is our story. The beautiful picture that you see in the book of Philemon is that there was the slave named Onesimus who offended and who ran away and tried to get away with it, and he got caught. But praise the Lord, he got caught by God, and he got saved. And now Paul, who is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in this story, is writing a letter to Philemon, who is a picture of God in a sense. And he is saying, I want you to see how Onesimus is different. Now, I hope we can get excited about this, because if we can't, we need to check our spiritual welfare, our spiritual health. Because, folks, this is exactly what happened to you and I. We deserved judgment. We deserved to be punished for what we had done. And it's not a light punishment. It is an eternal punishment. We did not deserve to have any relationship with God, much less a close relationship. Do you realize the Bible teaches us quite clearly that we are co-inheritors with Christ? We are called the children of God, not just acquaintances, not just accepted, but children of God. And so I'm going to show you some things tonight in Philemon that are a picture of what God has done to change us. And with that thought, let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read Philemon. I'm going to read beginning in verse 8. And we'll read down all to about verse 19 and have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Philemon, verse 8, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin to thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the encouragement that it is to be amongst your people. We thank you for Vision Baptist Church. We thank you for Sunday and for the privilege it's been to come to your house today. Father, as we look at this picture of Onesimus, I pray that we could see ourselves, as it were, in a looking glass, in a mirror. We could see the things in this passage that apply not just to this man who was a slave a couple of thousand years ago, but to each of us and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done through us and for us, and the reconciliation that he's brought between us and you. Lord, help us to understand these things and to see the language clearly, that it applies not just to this man named Onesimus, but to us as well. I pray you'd bless our meeting to follow and all that we do tonight. And God, we just thank you again for your goodness. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just watch some of this language, if you would. I want to show you something in verse 16 and then later in verse 18 that Paul talking about Onesimus as he addresses Philemon. Look at the way he speaks about him. He says there in verse 16, he says, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me. You can almost, if you could, picture quite clearly the Lord Jesus Christ coming before God the Father, having paid for our sins on the cross, and coming before God the Father and saying about you, a born-again Christian, this is no longer an enemy of the cross, no longer an enemy of God, but now, put your name there if you would, this person is a brother beloved, specially to me. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us that way. He sees us that way. We tried to show you when we looked at the story of Joseph in Genesis, how Joseph thought about his brothers and how he loved them and he wept for them and he wanted to be restored to them even though they had offended him horribly. And that is a principal picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his desire to be restored with the nation of Israel. But it's also a picture of the way God sees us. Even though we have offended him, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us, and he wants to be close to us, and he wants what's best for us. That's the kind of language we see here. He says in verse 17 at the end of the verse, receive him as myself. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ says, look at him the way you would look at me. Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God, beloved of God, and he died on the cross to take our sins upon himself so that we could have his righteousness. And when we stand before God one day, when you stand before God one day, God, if you're saved, God will see the righteousness of Christ. Those are the kind of things God has done for us. Now, we'll try and be brief here. I'm going to try and finish up by about 7 at the latest so we can have our meeting and be on the way. I know you're all tired after a long week. But I want to show you several ways that God changed Onesimus and ways that he changed us. And again, the language is exciting. It's plain. It's very clear. I want to show you the first of those in verse 10, Philemon verse 10. He says, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now, I explained to you 2 weeks ago that Paul was in prison. Onesimus had apparently ended up in that very same place and had been led to the Lord by Paul. And that's what he's talking about right here in verse 10. And so what Paul says, in fact, he later on in the language, he says, you know, maybe what happened was God's will to bring Onesimus to that place to where he could get saved. You ever think about what happened so you could get saved? Ever think about where you could have been born? You could have been born in Vietnam in the 1960s. You could have been born in Russia in the 1960s. We haven't got to stretch this very hard. You could have been born in Saudi Arabia in our time frame. You and I take it for granted that we live in a situation where the gospel is plentiful. Folks, there are people in the world that rarely, if ever, get a chance to hear the gospel. Now, I won't get into the details here, but I do believe that God will get the gospel to anybody that will acknowledge God. And I think Romans 1 shows that. But the point is this. What did God do? How good, how gracious was God that he allowed you and I to find the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? Some of you, how many of you grew up in a gospel preaching church? Okay, how many of you did not? Okay, it's about half and half. Think about that group that didn't grow up in a gospel preaching church. Something had to happen to get you out of that and into the truth. Amen? I had the privilege of, from the time I was old enough to remember much of anything, 4 or 5 years old, 3 or 4 or 5 years old, I was going to an independent Baptist church in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And I remember hearing the gospel on a regular occasion and as a little child, maybe taking it for granted until one day God convicted me and I realized I was a sinner, needed to be saved, and I came forward and asked Christ to save me from my sins. But I heard that message every Sunday. I heard it in Sunday school. I had Sunday school teachers that would take me out even for lunch just so they could, you know, get to know me better. And one dear lady that she was already very aged at the time that that I was a little child that worked with me to memorize Scripture. And think of all the things God did in our lives to allow us to find Christ as our Savior. That's the goodness of God. And so Paul talks about this man. He says, I have begotten him in my bonds. And the thought there is that in verse 15, perhaps he departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Certainly, whatever happened, God was in control. And let's thank God that we even had the opportunity to hear the gospel and get saved. And if your life did not consist of riches or ease or comfort, but you spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, that's okay. Far better that than to live a life of fabulous wealth and die and go to hell. And a lot of folks do that. We're born again. We're born again because God saw fit to get the gospel to us, and our life was changed because of that. He says, he calls him my son, Onesimus. Now, there's no genealogical relationship there, but when you lead somebody to Christ, that is a child in the faith. Amen? If those of you that led a child to Christ this week, I need to let you know something. That's your child in the faith. You need to make sure that they get fed. Amen? If a woman had a child and left that child out to fend for itself at the age of a few days, we'd be very ashamed of her, and that'd be something that we would not even consider. That'd be punishable. I mean, that's negligence. Why would we not be just as serious about making sure that the children that we lead to the Lord are brought back to Sunday school? How can I do that, Pastor? Here's how you can do it. If I'm not mistaken, in most cases, although it got a little crazy on the bus, in most cases, we have addresses for all these children. I don't know, Mrs. Dahlman, how many do you think we have addresses for? 70, 80%, 90%, something like that? Mrs. Dahlman was grilling them, amen? Where do you live? And she's got 125 registration cards. Now, there were some nights when I didn't know what to do. Nathan didn't know what to do. We'd pull up in the bus, and we're expecting to pick up two children and 10 get on. And so it was easy. Brother Antonio, he'd go out, and him and Bronson, they'd bring him in. Bronson's a killer bus runner, I'm telling you. He's good at that. Oh, by the way, we need the windows closed in the bus after church tonight, brother. And so anyway, they'd go out and they'd bring him in. I'm just standing there in charge. Yep, go ahead, come on. And, oh, hey, Nathan, get all those kids' names. Ah, he's back there trying to figure out who's who. But if we pray, and if we use the information we've got, we can go back to those houses. Amen? Oh, maybe there was a child that almost got saved. What would keep us from going back out this week to that house and talking to that child again? Amen? If VBS is not just a one-week event, now I know it's a hard-working week and that when we get done, we're tired, but let's keep on going. That's what somebody did when you got saved. Somebody didn't give up on you. Somebody led you to the Lord, and then somebody fed you, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Somebody took the time out of their schedule to be there to reach you and to disciple you for Christ. And now let's return the favor, if you will. That's the way it ought to be done. The first thing I see, and I'm going to be too long with it if I'm not careful, is there was a changed life. Onesimus was born again. Now look at verse 11. There's a lot of doctrine in this little verse here. He says, talking about Onesimus, he says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Ah, there's so much there. First of all, there's a play on words, because Onesimus' name means profitable, but he wasn't profitable, and now he is. And but that's not the key thing there. Folks, when you and I were lost, we didn't amount to anything as far as eternal value is concerned. That's one of the great misconceptions about people thinking they can work their way to heaven. We're saved unto good works, not by good works. You can't do anything to please God before you receive Christ other than receiving Christ. Now you're profitable to Him. Now you're valuable to Him. Now, don't misunderstand. You were valuable in the sense that He came and died for you on the cross. But as far as doing anything, accomplishing anything for him, to benefit him, to glorify him, step one is being born again, and now you are profitable to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me, teenager. You have a whole life ahead of you. The devil, here's what the devil would like to do with you. The devil would like to get you distracted to where you spend your whole life serving the world or being entertained or, you know, getting the next best iPhone or whatever. The devil would like to do everything he can to keep your eyes off of eternity. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, I want you to be profitable for me. Amen? Amen. And we can. That's the exciting thing. He says in verse 11, now profitable. And then look at the theology here. To thee, the picture being to God the Father, and to me, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been changed. We have value now. Not just the value of Christ dying for our sins, but the value now that we can serve God. And folks, when we serve God, it does not go unrewarded. It does not go unnoticed. Not one cup of cold water is given out without the Lord rewarding that. And there was a lot of water given out this week. I almost misspoke because last Sunday night I said, I don't think we can collect too much water. We almost did. I don't know, what are there, a couple of cases left back there? Oh, they'll be gone pretty quick. But we gave out hundreds and hundreds of bottles of water to those little children. And just handing a child a bottle of water in Jesus' name is worthy of a reward. I can't wait to get to heaven and see all the things that God is going to reward us for. And then we can lay those crowns at Jesus' feet. Amen? We have been changed. We have value now. We have a new life. Then look at verse 12. He says, whom, talking about Onesimus, he says, Paul says, I have sent him again. Now watch this. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. And what he's saying here is, Onesimus is now worthy of being received. I've already talked about this, so I'm going to move on quickly, but I just want to remind you that when you stand before God, you stand in the righteousness of Christ. And folks, God will never reject his son except one time. On that cross, God turned his back on his son. And that's so he wouldn't have to turn his back on you and I someday. So when we are ushered into eternity, we come in the righteousness of Christ, in the reputation of Christ, and get the reception that Christ would receive. Look at verse 13. He says, he's talking about Onesimus. He says, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. What he's saying there in verse 13 and 14, he says, you know, he says, Philemon, he says, Onesimus is somebody that could really be beneficial to me here in my present situation, and I would have kept him, but I wouldn't do that without your permission. There's a little picture there. And there's that picture of the submission to the son's will to the father's will. And it just shows how that relationship goes together. But he wouldn't take anything without permission. He says, I would wait until you said before I would keep him with me. And then in verse 15, he says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Watch this in verse 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, specially to me, but now much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And there's another change right there, and that's a change relationship. Folks, you and I have a relationship with God that is based upon the work of Christ on the cross, and it is a relationship that we should cherish, a relationship that we should take advantage of. When you pray, you're not just praying to a God that doesn't know you. You're praying to a Father in heaven. And that's the picture. The relationship has changed. You used to be a child of the devil. And you used to be a child of the devil. And whatever the devil wanted you to do, pretty much that's what you'd do. You know, lost folks think they're in charge. No, Somebody's in charge in your life. It's either going to be God or it's going to be sin, one of the two. There's nobody that's out there calling the shots for themselves. The devil will run you ragged if you're not saved. But when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, now you have a relationship with God the Father, and now I can come to Him, and He, being my Father, can deal with me as He would deal with the Son. He can chasten me like a son. He can provide for me like a son. He can trust me in the sense of trying to use me and using me like a son. There's a new relationship. So then we'll look at a couple more verses and we'll be done. Look at verse 17. He says, "If thou count me therefore a pardoner, receive him as myself." And watch this last thing in verse 18 and 19. "If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." Before you and I were saved, we had what we call a sin debt. We owed an insurmountable sum, something that we could never possibly pay. And the Lord Jesus Christ, on our behalf, says to God the Father, "Whatever they owe, put that on my account, whatever it might be." I wish I knew somebody like that in the banking business, amen? Wouldn't that be great? Go out there and say, "You know, I've got some debts. I've got a light bill, and I got a water bill, and you know, the church has got an insurance bill, some things like that. We're going to talk about money here in just a little bit. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just say, the guy down there at the bank said, whatever we owe, he'll take care of it." If you know anybody like that, give them my phone number, all right? And if we can find somebody that'll do that for us individually, financially, that'd be a great thing. What would that mean? It would mean we could be free of debt. And it would mean that if we incurred new debt, that debt also could be forgiven. Now, let's just play with some words a little bit. That's the way God is willing to deal with our sin. You and I were sinners by birth and by choice. We have a sin nature, and we chose to sin, and we choose to sin. And that choice to sin deserves punishment. It's a debt, and it deserves to be required. It should be paid. And when we owe that debt to God, the Lord Jesus Christ came and He said, "I'll take the debt on me. Take the debt from them, put it on my account." There's a word in the Bible that you'll see. I like the word. You don't use it very often. It's the word imputed. It means to be counted for something. The Bible, for example, even uses that word counted. It says that Abraham's faith was counted for righteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. He paid the debt. Somebody that says, "I'm not sure if I'm going to go to heaven or not," what they're saying is, "I don't know if my debt's been paid or not." I'm here to tell you the debt's been paid. So now you saved and you incur some more debt. Because the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And you think, "Oh no, now I've got a debt. What am I going to do?" Well, I want you to know the very same Savior that forgave your original debt is willing to forgive the subsequent debt. And He'll do that if you'll call on Him. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is not a license to sin. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't want a license to sin. Amen? You want to live a holy life. But we have this little problem called the flesh and two other little problems called the world and the devil. And sometimes they'll get us in trouble. And I'm being very lighthearted there. It's worse than that. But when we incur that debt, Jesus says, "Put it on my account." And folks, His blood is sufficient to pay for every sin that ever has been committed or ever will be committed. Amen? Pretty good news. Onesimus walks out. I have no way of knowing. I presume he was incarcerated with Paul, but at any rate, he walks out those doors and he heads back to Philemon's house. And he might be carrying this letter. I don't know. What do we have in the subscript here? It says, "Written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant." Yep, it was Onesimus carrying the letter, if that subscript is right. So Onesimus walks in the door, and he says to Philemon, I'm back, and I have a letter from Paul. Maybe in his heart, Onesimus might have had some doubt. I wonder what Philemon will do. Folks, when you step into eternity, you walk up into the presence of God the Father, and you got a letter. Amen? And you walk up to God the Father, and you say, I have the word of the Lord. Here's what he wants you to know about me and to do with me. He's the one that said it. And I guess Onesimus, I can kind of picture this, handing the letter to Philemon and letting Philemon have time to read it and wondering, what's Philemon going to do? Because he wasn't bound to do what Paul asked. But we have even a stronger assurance because our letter from God says God promises he'll forgive us. You haven't got to walk into heaven wondering how God's going to deal with you. You walk into heaven knowing exactly what he's going to do. He's going to accept the sacrifice of the Son. Amen? Amen? And when you and I step into eternity, we walk into the presence of God the Father. We haven't got to wonder, are we forgiven or not? We're forgiven. We haven't got to wonder, is he going to receive us? He's going to receive us. We haven't got to wonder, have our sins been paid for? They've been paid for. All those changes took place because of the work of Christ. We have a wonderful Savior. And folks, you may not have a perfect life. You may have some trials and heartaches, and you will. And there may be some times when you fail. You will. But the Lord Jesus Christ never does fail. And he's there to keep paying that debt and to keep us right with God. And if it wasn't for that, I don't know what we'd do. I really don't. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment with every head bowed and every eye